came. And Pastor Ken, the demographic is changing these days, but you know what? I just celebrate each and every one of you that make it out, support this church, and love God, most important, and love each other. This morning is our last message in our Advent series. And it's been a good month. Linda and I have been so excited through this month. And we took a little bit of a detour last week to hear Jenna preach. And so how do you think she did? And it was good. Yeah. You're famous because I'm pretty well connected in our fellowships. So when I put your message on social media and everything, I noticed the president of the Bible college checked it off and liked it. So when you go back, those who have your leaders at the Bible college, they already know what you've been up to over your Christmas holidays. And so that was a really good thing. It's been an excellent month. It's been a really peaceful, excellent month. And so, Lynn, what's this year just kind of a little bit just like, what's it been like you this year?
I forgot I had this on. What has this year been like? I'm the kind of person you need to ask that question to ahead of time, so I have a planned answer. You know that. The year has been amazing. We've had a few people over the course of the year make a commitment to Jesus, and that's what it's all about. That's our mandate. That's what all of us should be working towards, is bringing someone into the kingdom through the year. And there's been a few people over the course of the year that have come to Christ. So that's always a highlight for me. You know, at the front end of the year, I was working with the kids a lot, every Sunday, practically. And that's always a highlight for me. I love our kids, and my passion is for them to grow in the ways of the Lord and to increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's been a real highlight for me. Just coming together on Sunday, seeing my family. You know, we don't have our own family, so Christmas is always a really special time for us when we get to celebrate with all of you guys. Amen. All our brothers and sisters in Jesus. And so we're just really excited about tomorrow night. We're well ahead of schedule. We're really planned. So that was a good thing this year.
Yeah, it's been
being
amazing.
On top of things and just being able to focus. And yeah.
It's amazing because, like, this year, so when we leave today after we try that yucky eggnog. That's my idea to buy.
Don't say that. Nobody's going to have any now.
It's good. It's good. Alfredo, you love eggnog, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How many like eggnog? Okay, that's good.
Well, look, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
What's my
Anyways, biggest? When we leave today, the church, we will set the alarm and we will lock the door. And we only have to come back about an hour before our Christmas Eve candlelight service, because we were here the last couple of days and got everything done that has to be done. And I remember the days, Jean will tell you, where it would be Christmas Eve and it would be the service would be starting and we would hear buzzing and we would hear all sorts of things happening and technical things would be having to come together. And then we would have to incorporate a video from YouTube and go through all sorts of downloads to try to get it to work in our system. And some of the ones that we would download to do that conversion were full of viruses and malware. And then 10 minutes before the service, we'd be asking Gene, what's happening here? He goes, you picked up a virus in the computer. He goes, what do you think this is? It's 10 minutes before the service. And we'd get it happening. And no one would know. But we do. And I'm thankful for this year, because what happened was we've just done some amazing, amazing things. You could hear no buzzing. You can hear all the things that need to come together. are just, and James has learned a lot, and James, stand up for a second here.
Woo!
James, on a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of your pleasure now of working with the equipment we have, what level is it? There's room, there's always room for improvement. Well, for the last number of Sundays, we have followed the Advent calendar, and we're going to have to speed up here a little bit, and lighting the candles, each representing hope and peace and joy, and this morning, love. And Linda's going to light the love candle for us this morning, and then read a few scriptures for us. Amen? Amen.
So our first week, we lit the hope candle. Our hope is in Jesus, amen? Then the candle of peace. He is our Prince of Peace. And then last week, we lit the joy candle, which was representative of the joy the shepherds had when they heard the angels declaring the birth of the King. And then today, we're lighting the love candle. God is love. Amen?
Amen.
So in our modern understanding of the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus was a touching event with barnyard animals and shepherds' affection. But from another perspective, the countdown is actually on. For ultimately, God has sent his Son into the world for a greater purpose. Luke 19:10 says that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus had been born through a virgin by the Spirit of God, making him both the Son of God and the Son of Man, which put him in a completely unique situation. Being fully human, he could be tempted in every way as we are, and touched with our feelings and weaknesses, and yet, as he was fully divine, he could and did overcome every trial in life. And this makes him our advocate in a very special way. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Because Jesus never sinned, he could offer his life in the place of sinners, but it would take all of his love for this to happen. His soul was greatly troubled that night as he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he agonized over the sacrifice that he would make. But though the cost was truly great, his care for us was even greater still, so that he gave himself freely to redeem each and every one of us. Isaiah 53:5-6 says this, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus has loved us with an everlasting love and has washed us from our sins through his own blood. And this is the challenge. God requires each and every one of us to believe the testimony that he has given his Son, to put our trust in him. After Jesus died, he rose again on the third day, as we all know, just as the prophets had foretold. And after his resurrection, he appeared to many, many witnesses who had seen right before their eyes all of the prophecies come to pass. Many of them wrote accounts of his life, of his loving sacrifice and his resurrection, and what he meant to us through these. And as the season of Advent has unfolded over this last month, And Christmas Day draws near, just 2 days away. Our sense of anticipation awakens. And while the world around us seems to fall deeper into darkness, the true light is already shining in our hearts. The risen Christ ascended into heaven, and we again wait in hope for his soon return. He's coming back.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen?
He is coming back again. Yes. That's one of the prophecies that he has not yet fulfilled, but he will. With the inner peace and joy he gives, we look to a day when he will wipe away all of our tears and we will know a love that is perfected in his presence forever.
Amen. Have you enjoyed Linda and I co-preaching for the month? I've really liked it. She's a pretty good girl, you know. And, you know, I read a story this week entitled Love Like That. And it goes like this. It says, he couldn't do anything for himself. Born with cerebral palsy, he sat in the wheelchair, loving every second of the Christmas musical. He faces challenges that I can't even imagine. His body wrecked by a disease with no cure. He sat in the back of the auditorium, perhaps not wanting to distract. And sitting next to him was a proud mother. I couldn't help stealing a glance throughout the evening to see her stroking his hair, wiping his mouth, smiling all the while. She adored him. I had to meet this amazing mother. She was a single mom who had just moved from Tennessee from Kansas. And I said to her, how do you do this all by yourself? And she responded, she says, he's my life. He's the greatest blessing that ever happened to me, she said. This two-person family had an eternal effect on me. I received a glimpse of the love of God for me. Despite my constant battles with sin and personal rebellion, God loves me like that. And this morning I want to tell you that it is also true of each of you this morning as well. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And not only that, but the application of this is that he taught us to also love one another. Amazing. You are God's treasure if you follow him, and he will be yours as well. Amen. And that gives hope, and that gives every one of these candles represents something that we've been talking. This is only a symbol, but oh my goodness, it's been, our focus has been on Christ for the whole month. And I hope it gets so deep within your spirit. And I pray that any healing that needs to take place in your heart or any forgiveness that has to be extended to someone or whatever, that you will just march in that. You will run to your King with all of those things. 1 John 4:10, it says this, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. After all of these years, after all the intercession meetings we've been in, after all the times I read Scripture, do I still completely, fully understand that? No, I don't. Okay, but I walk in it. And you know what? I have that assurance within my heart. Do you? And if you want to know how to love one another, just look at the life of Jesus and how he paid for our sins. And it's all about love. Everything we're talking about at Christmas, it's all about love. And it isn't a love that is full of fancy words and impossible tasks. It's love that says, I am willing to love no matter what.
I am willing to love no matter what. And that's when he looked at you, he says, I am willing to love no matter what. And some of you here have felt in your life that, man, you're just not lovable. You're just not lovable. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to share what we prayed on Friday, on Wednesday night. If you want to ask me later, I'll tell you. But, oh, my goodness, we prayed for a few situations where people, even young people, that they do not feel that way. They do not feel loved. They do not feel that where they're making decisions at early ages that are just scary. And we prayed for them, and God loves them, and he loves us. In the past 3 weeks, we have been building up to this week. In 2 more days, we will be celebrating the birth of our Savior. And we use this Advent season to help us prepare for this holiday as we reflect on what Christmas really means. I hope and I pray that this church is representative of taking a whole month of really focusing on what Christmas means, and that we have a testimony within our heart that we could share and explain to others, and that if we don't have that peace and that hope and that joy within our own home, that it will start to manifest in their home through you, because you have been part of this week. So 3 weeks ago, we looked at the first candle in the Advent wreath, which represents hope. From the first sin in the Garden of Eden, God had a plan for the Messiah to come. Hope was present right from the very beginning of time. Through the announcement to Zechariah and Elizabeth, hope was given to the future parents of John the Baptist, and John would be the messenger who would lead the way for Jesus and his ministry. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the candle of peace, which represents preparation, and all through biblical history, Scripture pointed to the coming Messiah. So when Linda said earlier that he is coming back, and you'd say, well, when? We've been hearing that he's coming back for years, and why is he coming back? Well, all you have to do is look at these scriptures that pointed to him. And yes, he was born. Everything that was said about him. So do not be discouraged. He is coming back. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the peace candle, which represents preparation. Isaiah wrote that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Many situations and people had to come together to fulfill the plan that God had set out. These prophecies were preparation for the future that we are living in today, 2,000 years after it happened. And he planned it right from the beginning. And those preparations lead us up to the birth of Jesus Christ. Someone would say, you're crazy that you believe in this. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I didn't ask for your opinion whether you think I'm crazy or not. It's my faith. So just either you honor it or don't honor it. But you're not going to change my mind by telling me I'm crazy. You know what I mean? It's what I believe. You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. But the thing is, I will never stop praying for you. So if you're here today and you're a little bit short on faith and belief, boy, I'm going into overload, and I'm going to pray for you, because you know what? At the end of the day, what happens is if I go through my whole life and I'm wrong, I didn't lose anything. But if I go through my whole life and I missed what we're talking about now, I lose everything. So you know what? I'll take a chance. Amen. A holy chance. Joy was experienced by Elizabeth and her unborn son, John, when they saw Mary was pregnant with Jesus. They were face to face with the Lord and Savior, and they knew that salvation was coming. We have the promise this morning of eternal life, amen? Don't make light of that, okay? Don't make light of that. It's not one of these, oh, another Christmas service. Heard that one already. Don't make light of it, okay? Don't make light of it. We have the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ because of God's grace, not because of our efforts, okay? Not because of our efforts. The joy is here because of the birth of Christ. The joy that I have in me, you know what happens is I'm a passionate guy, right? Man, you think about it. When I heard Oh Holy Night today, when I heard Pauline and John, what they did to honor us this morning, how do you stand up and preach when you see the children here and little children coming up and they look, Every week, I have a little gift and candy, more sugar, and all the, how many of you saw on Facebook all the little artwork, you know? Aren't you glad that we're not a church? Oh, look, we have another one here. Aren't you glad that we are not a church that gets upset because they use our offering envelopes for artwork? You know what? Use the offering envelopes. It's a blessing to somebody. Who cares? I remember in a church, hide those things from the kids. They're going to wreck them all. Good. Wreck them. Yeah. They're tithing because they're tithing love. Okay? They're tithing love. And we have the promise of eternal life. And today we took the final candle of the Advent wreath and to examine God's love was the driving force behind the birth of Jesus, isn't it? It's the driving force. And the past 3 weeks have been nothing less than examples of showing God's love for us. The entire gospel comes together in the verses that Linda wrote. So in conclusion, and Ty's going to come and serve communion this morning, and we'll come, and we won't keep you too long this morning, but, you know, we've had communion every Sunday this month, haven't we? And Cheryl walked into the church this morning. She says, communion again. She says, I love that. She says, we should do it every Sunday. But it's been good, hasn't it? And, you know, I just love it. We had a Catholic lady here last week. And in the Catholic church, you go up to get your thing. They don't distribute it. And, you know, and she loved that. You know, she says, you go up to get communion too. And I thought, yeah, that's a good, how many of you know that's a good thing? You know, because, you know, how many of you know that when you come with your offering and you come and you put it in, there's something sacrificial about that instead of just having a plate given to you. Everything in society is always about us being served. But when you get up and you walk and you put in or you come and you receive communion and you're coming. And so you have to get up from your seat in faith and you have to come. And there's just something. So we do things a little bit differently around here. But you know what? I hope they're all faith builders for all of us. You know, every Sunday, I ask the question. Every Sunday, either Pauline or Kathy or Isabel or whatever, we pray as a worship team. And every Sunday, we actually put on the armor of God. We physically, so we put on the helmet of salvation and the belt, and we stand there in a circle, and we actually go through the motions. And I said to the group afterwards, I said, are we doing this because it's a tradition that we, or a routine that we started? And I think it was, where's Maria? Where's Maria? Wonderful Maria. And wonderful Maria, she says, no. She says, actually, every time we do it, it becomes more meaningful and deeper. And we do that. And we put the hedge, and we put the armor of God on every week. And when we come and we put our offering in, or we come and we receive communion, we put on the armor of God. These are all very special things. So in conclusion, unwrapping your Christmas gift. If you sacrificed all you had to buy me a priceless and personalized gift, and I never took the time to unwrap it and open it, how would you feel? How would you feel if everything that you had, you used to buy me a gift? And then when I received that gift, I never took the time to unwrap it or open it. How would you feel? Disappointed? Hurt? Possibly angry at my rejection of your generous love? And for me, the gift would be worthless as well if I never took the time to sit and open it myself. There would be zero benefit for me as well, wouldn't there? And yet, you know what? It's astounding, folks, that so many people have celebrated Christmas every year of their lives without having opened the greatest and most expensive Christmas gift. It's true, you know. And Jesus Christ is God's Christmas gift to you this morning, okay, and to me. Wrapped up in Jesus are all the benefits and blessings that are mentioned in the book. Did I mention that once you open up this gift, it doesn't necessarily mean that life's going to get easier? How many of you know that when you gave your heart to the Lord, that life maybe became less easy because people thought you were crazy? Amen. But wrapped up in Jesus are all the benefits and blessings that are mentioned in the book and so much more. In Jesus, your past is forgiven. How many of you here this morning would just like to believe without a shadow of a doubt that your past is forgiven? Okay? How many of you here this morning, show me your hands, or you know, you're ashamed of your past. Okay? You're ashamed of your past. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you honestly enter into a relationship with Christ, he could lift that shame off. And you don't have to any longer be ashamed of your past. I'm not saying be proud of your past, but you don't have to be ashamed of your past. Amen? You get a purpose for living. You get a purpose for living. And you get to go to heaven. You get to go to heaven. So why celebrate Christmas if you're not going to open the best gift at all? Right? Like, what's the whole purpose of it? Even our Jewish friend Tiki in Hamilton on Facebook, she said, "Merry Christmas, Ken and Linda." She's Jewish, but she honors the Christ that we have faith in because she sees the faith that we have. Even people of other religions say Merry Christmas to us. The name Jesus actually means God saves, and right now Jesus says to you, I can replace your frustration in your heart with peace. I can replace your guilt and shame with forgiveness. I can replace your worry and anxiety with confidence. I can replace your depression with real hope. Can anyone say amen to that one? I can fill your emptiness with meaning and purpose. If you'll trust me completely, I can replace your frustration with clarity. But I'm not going to break down the door of your heart. You've got to invite me in. Aren't you ready to do that? Now, I believe that most of you today have done that. But maybe you need to make a stronger commitment than that. And let God work in your life so that his manifested presence would work through you in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go deeper in 2019. Amen. Amen. Come time.